Hold up your Bible. If you have a Bible, hold it up. I want to see all the Bibles. Y'all taking your kids, hustle, because you got to get back for this message. And I can't wait on you. Thank you for bringing your word. It's really important at this church that you bring the word of God. It will help you. It's your instruction manual, you know, a lot of people say. And it is. But it also is something that you can follow along. If I accidentally skip over a verse or you know, even one line, you'll see it. And you'll know, oh, let me read that part. Because it sometimes happens. But more importantly, it gets you used to having that word with you at all times. Because, I mean, thank God for the preachers that God has called to deliver the word of God. I mean, He's called me to be the pastor of this church. He didn't call you, He called me. And that's very important to understand, because I need to know that I'm called and He's positioned me in this place. That means I'm responsible for a lot. I'm responsible for what I say. And it better be lined up with this word. Would you agree? There's times when ministers add their opinions, but when you follow along the Word of God, you'll be able to discern, you know, opinion from what the Word of God says. So with that said, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 54. And as you get to Isaiah 54, I want you to say amen. And just keep saying it as I want everybody to see this. So when you get to 54 of Isaiah, say amen. Anybody still looking? I've always said, don't be so prideful that you can't go to page 1, the table of contents, to find where Isaiah is, because sometimes we need that. But it's pretty much in the middle of your Bible, and you'll find it. Isaiah 54. Everybody there? Now, I've said this scripture that we're fixing to go to many, many, many times. I have, the Lord has instructed me a lot of times to share it when people are going through major, major things. Financial issues, marriage issues, health issues. I mean, the list can go on and on. And I will say, listen, you need to stand on Isaiah 54, and then I always go to the verse 17. Listen to what it says. No weapon. Say that with me. No weapon. Say it louder. No weapon. Now look what it goes on to say. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. In the Amplified it says, but no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. So really, it doesn't change anything. You know, a lot of times certain translations, because of the copyright law, changes it just a little bit. And they try to do, you know, the right meaning, but they have to a lot of times change the words to hopefully amplify the word weapon or whatever we're fixing to discuss. But here, you noticed, it really says pretty much the same thing. There's not a weapon that's formed against you that's going to prosper. In order to understand this scripture, you need to figure out what weapons they're talking about. Now, we're going to come back here, but we're going to talk about a few weapons that the enemy uses to try to destroy. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal. That's part of a weapon. Kill, a weapon, and destroy, a weapon. And if he can use these weapons against you, then they'll prosper in your life, and you'll go through tons of trials and tribulations. And most of the time when you get in the trial and tribulation, you won't know how to get out of it. Or you'll have some relief for a short time, and then bam, you're right back at dealing with the same issue over and over and over. And if I went across this crowd and had a testimony time, I'm sure I would hear a lot of that. I used to say the old saying, it's an old song that, it's me again, Margaret. You ever heard that? I can't remember who Ray Stevens would say, it's me again, Margaret. Well, a lot of times we feel that way when we say, Lord, it's me again. I did it again. I'm sorry, sir. Forgive me. And God forgives you, forgets it, by the way. But the enemy doesn't. And he wants to bring it right back up. And so we've got to figure out what are the weapons that the enemy wants to bring against us so hopefully in his eyes, in his ways, they'll prosper. And we need to stand against that. So we need to figure out, hold your hand in Isaiah 54 or mark it because we're going to come back to it. But we've got to figure out what are the weapons that the enemy tries to form against us and that he wants to prosper. Because they're not good. They're not, this word prosper is not in the Greek talking about when the third John says, I wish above all things that you prosper, be in health even as your soul prospers. Because he's not wanting you to prosper in a good way, talking about the enemy. So here God's saying is, hey, no weapon formed against you will prosper. What are the weapons, though? Let's turn over to Galatians then. Galatians, and go to chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Because again, as you turn there, I want to set up this message in hopes that it will help you understand that you can be the victor and not the victim. You can be the head and not the tail. You can be, remember, above and not beneath the issues of life. No, you can be the overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, word of your testimony, etc. You can be that one that declares, no, I can. I can do all things. I will do all things that strengthens me. Through Christ, of course. Don't forget that part. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I will do all things through Christ. You see, you'll be that person and the enemy will not prevail. But we've got to learn that there's weapons out there that the enemy uses to try to stop us. And those weapons, he wants to prosper in our life. He wants it to magnify. If you've got an anger problem, you're going to find out that's a weapon. But look at Galatians chapter 5. And I know a lot of you will understand this when I say what verse. Let's just start. Ooh, Jesus, this is all good. Wow. Let's start at verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. You there? This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Verse 18. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Now here's where we're going. Because every work of the flesh, and I've done studies on each individual flesh that it mentions here, and each individual fruits of the Spirit. But the weapons that Isaiah 54 and 17 is talking about is all of these works of the flesh. And let's just talk about them. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. Now, I don't think anybody has to really spend a lot of time, but adultery is a major weapon that the enemy uses to primarily mess up marriages, right? But man, you want to talk about being in the flesh. The flesh will ruin a marriage when you start dealing with things like sexual things when you're married. And you've got to be so careful because that one weapon destroys a lot of things. Okay? So if you would come against that spirit of adultery and you walk by the Spirit, you'll never fulfill a lust of doing something with another woman that's not your wife. Because God wants to free us of having marriage issues in that one area, and He wants our even our sexual life as a married person. Let me say that again, as a married person. Because listen, a lot of times people come to this church, and you should always, and you should understand that God's not a God of guilt or condemnation. But a lot of times, preachers are afraid to tell the truth in fear of someone leaving, like people that are living together and not married. So I always say, don't do that. Get married. I don't care if you have to privately go down and get married to do it right in the eyes of the Lord and then have a big celebration later. But a lot of people try to bypass those things. And, of course, it comes into the very next weapon, which is fornication. And you cannot live together in how God created us with men and women. Let me say that again, with biological men and biological women. Anybody out there? And not be attracted and almost set yourself up to fall. God wants you married. He wants you to do it in the blessing of this word. I can't be afraid to not tell the truth. We need to do things correct. And getting married is, all through the Word of God, the Bible talks about how blessed someone is when you're married. You know why? Because there's agreement, man. And the devil doesn't want you to have agreement. He doesn't want you to do it right. No, he just says, no, so you don't have divorce. Just live together so you can learn each other. No. That's starting out a marriage like a prenuptial. Are y'all out there? I've never been in agreement of prenuptials. You know how many times I've had to counsel people about prenuptials? Prenuptials are a curse. All it's saying is, hey, if it don't work out. And you're starting with the curse. If it doesn't work out, I need to protect my stuff. Well, when you get married, no. If you're led by the Spirit of God, then you're not going to get in the flesh and you're going to do things in honor of God. I'm telling you, if people, and they have many times, God will convict. He doesn't condemn. And he'll have people know it's time we get married and do it right. Man, we'll marry you because the blessing is important. Why? Because the devil uses that, people living together and doing things like that. A lot of people do it out of convenience because, well, it's just cheaper. It's almost like being roommates. No. Come on, don't. The Lord knows, you see. And He wants you to do it right, y'all. I don't know why preachers can't tell the truth. Now, again, I said it before. Don't you dare get into guilt and condemnation. No, just get married or do it right. Amen. You see, the reason this church is so blessed is because there's got to be ministers that aren't afraid to tell the truth. We're not trying to beat you up. No. It's between you and God. Don't you dare leave the church offended. No. Just do what the Word of God says because the enemy wants to use it as a weapon. And God's saying, no. Those weapons that are formed against you won't prosper. But if you just set yourself up, then the weapon's going to cause you not to be in the blessing of God. Doesn't mean you're not going to go to heaven when you die. Everybody gets so confused about the kingdom of God. No, Matthew says seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The kingdom of God literally means God's way of doing things. When you're talking about adultery or fornication, which is the second one, we've got to understand that it's a weapon that the enemy uses to try to destroy the believer. And God wants you to not be destroyed. He wants you to be in faith, full of victory, praise God. Because again, if you do it right in a marriage, Woo, gee, I'm not saying the enemy won't attack the marriage, but man, there's power. There's power in agreement. Ask any married couple here. If you do it right, I don't do anything without the agreement of my wife. It makes it a whole lot better, y'all. I'm more happy. But there's times when I've been tempted, no, I'm just going to do this because I want to. And my wife will go, I probably wouldn't do that. But it's wisdom, since we're married, to be in agreement. My wife is not someone that I control. That's why in our marriage ceremonies, I love the one that we use, because it talks about how women, we're all submissive to each other, but that ring is not a sign, a continual sign of dominance. No, it's a continual sign of love. Us men are not supposed to dominate our wives. No, we submit to each other. Now, I'm not talking about the man not being the head spiritually of the house. Men need to get into that role rightfully. I don't think enough men are. That's why women have to become the man a lot. It's because men need to step up and be who God's called you to be. Thank God we got a lot of men in this church. Say amen to that, men. Because you got to know and be confident of your calling. If you're married, then you are the spiritual head, but not in a dominant, controlling way, you see. And people get that so messed up. Okay? A weapon that's formed against us, we need to make sure it doesn't manifest. Look at, again, verse 19 at the start. You can't miss the first part of, now the works of the flesh are manifest. When it uses the word manifest, that means it's happening. Okay, then it starts saying the works of the flesh, adultery, fornication, uncleanness. In the Amplified, it just goes and starts there. Immorality, impurity, indecency, talks about all these things, uncleanness. You know, there's something about being a man of integrity, a woman of integrity. Because again, listen to me, if you want to have success, don't let one of these rule you to where they manifest and they're formed as a weapon. I remember when Betsy and Lance got married on my front porch. It was just a few of us. And your first husband had died. And then here comes Lance, bless his heart. But it was a God thing. And one day they go, hey, we need to get married. And so it was a wonderful thing, you see. God blesses it, you see. But the enemy, again, wants to pour out all kinds of weapons. Here's some more. Verse 20. Adultery. Witchcraft. Hatred. I mean, I know people that they deal with that hate over what someone did to them. Usually it's been a while. Yeah, but you don't know, preacher, what they did to me. I know. I probably had the same thing happen to me. You are to be a preacher. If you're not called to do what I do and you try to do it, you'll want to commit suicide. It's not fun in some ways. I mean, I have to deal with people sitting in other people's seats and getting offended. I'll never forget. I laughed and laughed and laughed. I did this revival in, I don't remember where it was, like Shamrock, Texas, in that area. And they asked me to come do it, and it was a denominational church. I won't tell you which one. And I don't know why I did it, but there was two sections, just like these two sections right here. And I said, all right, before we get started here, I want all of y'all to stand up. Everybody, stand up. Grab your belongings. And they're like, what? I said, I want this side to move to this side and this side move to this side. I almost got killed. I almost had to have protection. I'll never forget a woman in the second, and it was they were pews, and it was the second part, and she says, "I have sat right here for 40 years." I said, "Well, you're going to sit somewhere else. You hear me, Mama?" I mean, I don't know why I got all bold, and I said, "No, but you're going to sit over there. You hear me, young lady?" I don't know if I said it quite like that, but I pressured her to move. When she got over here, she could not listen. She was squirming. Matter of fact, whoever sat over there couldn't listen as well because her butt print had been there for 40 years and it didn't fit the new person. But what it was designed to do is to get us out of our comfort. And if someone sat there, hey, praise God, as long as you get fed the Word of God. Because the enemy uses that it as a weapon for them to then leave the church and get offended. No. Don't do that, please. Because if you get offended at another church and you come here without dealing with that offense, now I'm not saying you might need to leave for some pretty bad reasons, but make sure it's not an offense, because if you didn't deal with it there, it's going to come up here eventually. You see, the enemy constantly wants to use weapons, and he wants to form them against you in some way. The hatred. I mean, I know people that hate this one person so bad that they can't get over it. Every time they see them, brings up all those feelings. Well, you see, that's a weapon. It's a weapon. And the enemy's trying to say all these are fleshly things that will manifest if we're not led by the Spirit. Adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murderers, drunkenness, reveling. In the Amplified, it says it like this. It says, now the doings, verse 19, or practices of the flesh are clear, obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency. Verse 20, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife. Strife's a very bad one as well, too. And I'm not trying to minimize one over the other, because they're all works of the flesh. They're all the weapons of the enemy. And we just need to know that the best part is what we're about to read after this. But so many people that you might know are dealing with some of these works of the flesh. And they're coming to you probably trying to get freed from them. And they got to learn how. Isaiah 54 will help them. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Look at it. Strife. Jealousy. Back to strife. I mean, remember when the Word says that being proud or having pride, I mean, pride comes, what does that scripture say? Comes before a fall, before destruction. You see, strife is a very, very bad thing. And then jealousy. Jealousy is a work that deals with all of us, because someone is better than us in some area, and that jealousy spirit. Well, no. It's a work of the flesh that the enemy uses a weapon against us. I can't tell you how many churches. Wow. I can't tell you how many churches are in competition over the next one. I was the president of the Ministers Alliance in our town, and I mean, those ministers, you would see them just try to one-up you. And I don't agree with that. I think we're all in this game together. Well, I call it a game. We're all in this life together. We're all in this kingdom together, you see. Look at some more of these. Anger, ill temper. I mean, lots of people deal with anger. They just wake up upset. I told someone the other day, you realize, because I don't remember how it came up, but they asked how I was doing. And I said, well, I can either choose to have a bad day or a good day. And I choose to have a good day. There's lots of opportunities to have a bad day. I want to choose to have a good day. It changes everything, you see. And the enemy can't use that then ill-tempered as a weapon, because he can't. It'll mess with a marriage. Just waking up on the wrong side. What does that mean? I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Well, then wake up on the other side. You see. Okay, so what God's doing here is he's trying to help us. Look, don't allow the enemy to use a weapon against you. It goes on. It goes on in the Amplified because I like it. Selfishness, that's a big one. Divisions or dissensions. A party spirit. Oh, Jesus. Factions, sex with particular opinions. Heresies. Envy. Uh-oh, here we go. Ready? Drunkenness. Are you trying to tell me not to drink? Nope. Now you do what you want to. But I can tell you where that spirit of drunkenness leads. And it leads to a lot of destruction. A lot. And you can't control how much you have sometimes when you're just, well, I'm okay. Let me do one more. It can become a weapon in people's lives. And I've seen that one thing. I've never seen anything good come from alcohol, ever. You know why? Because when you study it out, it's like witchcraft. When you study out drunkenness, it's like, that's why I'm so hard on it in my life. You do what God tells you to do. I'm not saying having a beer is a sin. I've never said that. I'm saying, though, it would be a sin for me. It would ruin my ministry if people saw me with alcohol at a table, at a meal, and they saw it. Oh, they would. That the rumor mill would start like crazy. Well, what's the difference with me and then someone else? You see. Because it always leads then. It becomes a weapon that the enemy uses like you've never seen. Because alcohol alters. This is where the witchcraft comes in. When I studied it, you know what it leads to? That alcohol, no matter what it is, always alters your mind. Okay, that's what the enemy wants. He wants your mind to be altered so that you're not led by the Spirit of God. Yeah, but preacher, you know Jesus turned water into wine. And they always use that. But the enemy, though, has, since we live in a fallen world, has just used it as a weapon in people's lives. And that one area, and it's no different than some of these other fleshly things, so don't get me wrong, but that one area has destroyed a lot of lives, a lot of marriages, because it leads to others like adultery. That one thing. So my suggestion would be not to let that one spirit of alcohol, of drunkenness, destroy your life. No, you get authority over it because the enemy will use it as a weapon. So you know what you say if you have issues in some of these areas? And I can go on and it, you know, revelings, and I think that is just like heresies, carousing around, a party spirit and the like. And he says this, I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now let me close and explain that real fast, because don't think that that's meaning heaven. Oh, you're going to miss heaven. Because the kingdom of God is God's ways of doing things, okay, y'all? It's His ways of doing things is the kingdom of God. The place called heaven is just that. It's the place. The kingdom of God is a method on how we're supposed to live here like heaven. Don't get those two confused, because most people go, well, if you do these things, you're not going to go to heaven. And I know one denomination that believes this, y'all. No. You have to have confidence in your salvation. Okay? When you give your heart to Jesus, you've got to have confidence that you're born again by the Spirit. Now, if you do something wrong, then there's grace and mercy and forgiveness, y'all. And And don't think that you'll lose your salvation because you do things wrong. Now, I know a lot of people that believe that once saved, always saved. The only way you can lose your salvation is how you got saved. In order to lose your salvation, you would have to deny Jesus, the deity. You would have to literally say, you know what? I reject Jesus and the deity, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I mean, I suppose, I've never seen it happen. Because that's what you did in order to get saved, is you rejected Satan and his works, and you received the Savior, Jesus. You've got to have confidence in your salvation. If you do something wrong or you're backslidden, thank God you can come back to the Lord. That's what mercy and grace and forgiveness is. So when it says, when you do these fleshly works of the flesh that manifest, and you won't inherit the kingdom of God, what it means is you won't inherit God's ways of doing things. You won't inherit peace, the true peace of God. So guess where you'll try to find it? In all addictive areas, just to try to find peace. Maybe it's in this bottle. Maybe it's in this drug. It's a weapon that the devil uses, and he tries to get it to prosper in your life. Before you know it, that's why people commit suicide, because they've allowed their flesh to then control, you see. Oh man, what a devil. What a stinking devil. Y'all hear me? What a stinking devil. You are a born-again child of God. You won't inherit the joy of the Lord that Nehemiah says. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So, you can be happy and not have joy. I've always said it like this. Today it could happen. If the Dallas Cowboys win, you'll be happy. They pay at 3. But that's not joy. True joy is everlasting joy. Oh, Jesus, y'all. Oh, man. You won't inherit those. That's the kingdom of God. People die before they should. You always wonder, and God gets the blame for it lots of times. Why would God, you know, take my son or my daughter? Wait a minute. Remember, God is good. The devil is bad. Someone dying at 20 years old or even 50, that's not good. The enemy comes to steal, say it with me, steal and destroy. So God here, that's why I'm preaching this message, y'all. Because it's making us, and I'm not, when I preach to me. I've said that for years. If I need it, I figure someone else needs it. I don't want these weapons trying to get formed against me. So I'm going to stand on Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against me will prosper. So let's say that as we close. No weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Say it. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Say it with some meaning, y'all. No weapon formed against me will prosper. That old enemy is not going to stop us, y'all. We're going to have success, and we're going to prosper in a good way. We're not letting some enemy destroy us where we got to spend tons of time with therapy and counseling sessions trying to get out of this one area that we're in, all because a weapon was formed against us. Why don't we start declaring that none of those fleshly weapons, those fruits of the, or those works of the flesh are going to dominate me. They're not going to prosper in my life, because the Word says no weapon formed against me will prosper. I was going to clap. Don't you dare take offense, because that's part of a weapon. No, just go, all right, praise God. Father, if I have some challenges in these areas, I need some help. And I need you to help me, sir, because I want to be blessed. Amen? And God wants every one of you to have success. He does. He wants you to prosper. But not because of a weapon and you prosper in a negative way through fleshly things. Next week, I'll be here. It'll be a lot more exciting. Because we'll talk about the fruits of the Spirit. Because if the enemy... So don't you dare miss. It should be warmer. I think all God's trying to say to us, because I preach to me, is the enemy is ruining a lot of lives because we allow the world to come in just a little bit. And people call it riding the fence. I don't think you can do that nowadays, y'all. We're in the end times. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. It's impossible. You're either going to be in one or the other. You can have little tidbits of moments in one or the other. I mean, sometimes we'll get into the flesh and have to say, God, forgive me. But I'm talking about people that practice in the world and then try to practice in the kingdom. It's impossible. That's like living in faith and fear. You cannot live in faith and fear at the same time, because fear is the opposite of faith. Faith is the opposite of fear. So you have to live in faith, because God, remember, He didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and soundness of mind. Where does the enemy try to attack us, y'all? Where does the enemy try to attack us? He's trying to attack our mind. And if he can get your old mind messed up, I feel warmer right now. If he can try to get your mind messed up and to thinking negatively, that's what he wants to prosper. Enemy, let it prosper. Not us. Nope. And I don't mean to preach a downed message, but we've got to hear this, y'all. Because it's actually good for a believer. Oh, that's a trick of the devil, that little rascally rabbit. I am not going to allow him to do that to me any longer. He tricked me, you know. No. You're led by the Spirit of God. You know right from wrong. You do. Don't you dare fight it. Don't you get like the world. And people can't even tell us what a woman is nowadays. I can, and I bet women can. Glory be to God. All right, did y'all have a good time? Hey, we've got to learn the weapons of the enemy so that we can know and stay in victory. Because God wants you to. He don't want you to be in depression. The devil does, but God doesn't. Okay? Oh, he wants you to be full of joy. Now, things happen, but don't let them manifest. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just things that you want us to think about. And Father, we're not afraid of that. You know what we're thinking right now. You know what we've done in secrecy. And Father, we can't hide that. We can try to run, but we can't hide it. So, sir, I just thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. Mercy, sir. Grace. Thank you for dying for us, sir. Jesus, man, we love you. But Father, thank you for the revelation of the tricks of the enemy. Weapons that he wants to prosper in our lives. And we're just not going to let him anymore. So Father, thank you for faith. Thank you for this message in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Are you born again? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If you left this earth, I'm not speaking death on you, by the way. If you left the earth, you're going to go and stand before God. That's what the Word says. The Bible calls it the Great Judgment Day. Every person is going to be standing before God one day when you leave this earth. And when you stand before God, Jesus, His Son, is going to be beside Him. He's going to have this book called the Book of Life. The only way your name is recorded in that book is by receiving Jesus, the Son, as Lord. Romans 10:9 says, if you'll confess the Son, Jesus, with your mouth that He's Lord and believe that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. John 14, I preached it yesterday, says that there's only one way to get to the Father in heaven. Jesus declares it. He's the one that's saying it. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. That's why He was crucified, y'all. That's why He gave His life and then was raised from the dead the third day when they had a big old stone with guards around it to make sure that that prophetic thing that was said, Him being raised from the dead, didn't happen. But yet it did. They moved that stone and He wasn't there. If Jesus is your Lord and you stand before God, He'll say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on in to heaven and enter the rest, the joy of the Lord. But listen, most of y'all know there's another place called hell. God does not want you to go there. It wasn't even made for you and me. It was made for Satan and his demons that got kicked out of heaven because they wanted to be God. Remember? But Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. A nature to sin came on the earth. God sent Jesus to overcome that, though. So now you got to receive Him. But you can say no to that. You can say, nope, I don't want to have anything to do with this God stuff. I'm begging you to not do that. I'm asking you right now to receive Jesus as Lord so that when you stand before God, you'll go to heaven and not hell. So what we're going to do is pray a prayer. I'm going to ask everybody in here to pray this prayer, even believers. But really, we're just going to pray it with people that have never received Jesus before. If you're here this morning or even at the sound of my voice watching somewhere and you've never received Jesus as Lord, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer and pray it where your ears can hear it. We're going to confess Jesus as Lord. So if you're in this auditorium or you're watching, you never made Jesus the Lord, you just don't know if you'd, when you die, if you go to heaven or hell, pray this prayer and ask Jesus to come into your life, and I'm telling you, you'll bust heaven wide open. Plus, you'll then have a Savior here on earth. That's why we go to church. We start learning who we are in Christ. So let's all pray it just like this, especially anyone that has never made Jesus the Lord of their life. Pray this prayer out loud and mean it, and believers will pray it with you. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. I believe You've been raised from the dead. So now I'm saved. I'm forgiven. And I pray this prayer knowing that I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. In Jesus' name. No one looking around, just real fast. If you just prayed that prayer and you asked Jesus to come into your heart, you made Him your Lord by that confessional prayer. You meant it. If you just did that for the very first time, when I count to three, just before we leave, I want you to raise your hand up and say, I just prayed that prayer and I meant it. And I gave my heart to Jesus this morning. And then put your hand right back down. I'm not having you come down to the front, right where you're at. If you just prayed that prayer, get that hand up at the count of three and then put it right back down. Ready? One, two, 3, go. Anybody? All right, look at me, y'all. It's a snowy day. It's an icy day. It's a cold day. But that means all of us are born again. And we thank God. Amen. There are people, if you're watching, and lots of you comment. I want you to share it if you watch it. A lot of people in here will go home and share this message. Please do that. But also, let us know where you're from, that you're watching from Burnett, or you're watching from Montana, or wherever. We love seeing how many people watch, hundreds, but that don't tell us. A lot of y'all, this is your church in a lot of ways, because you live a good ways away. I can't tell you how much it means to us that you support. It's a blessing, and I see it. For y'all, thank you. Thank you for being here. Amen. Did you have a good time? All right.